There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Keith Delaney broadcasting live from the home of the Black Hat Bandits. America Tonight listeners, welcome. Yep, we're in Washington, D.C. I was watching the local news, so I have to mention this at the top so it makes sense. We're going to talk about the Department of Homeland Security, and that's been funded, and John Boehner cracked in half, and what's the reaction to that has been. But there's these guys that are called the Black Hat Bandits, and they're just pumping this out all over D.C. They've hit 8 banks. And, I mean, here's the thing. They have some photographs of them, you know, taken from the bank video and whatnot, but they do. They have black hats pulled all over their face and giant hats on and beards and whatever, and they've managed to go in, and they so far have $30,000. They've ripped off $30,000, and during each robbery, the black hat bandits have, they're described as, you know, they got guns, they're wearing winter coats, sunglasses, black hats, and they have ski masks or fake beard. And they pulled one off when I was, shortly after I had arrived in D.C., they hit a Wells Fargo bank in Falls Church, Virginia, so that made it 8. So the FBI clearly is embarrassed by this and desperately trying to get any information to find out if they can track these guys down. Nobody was injured in any of the holdups or any of that kind of thing, but they keep missing them. They think that it's a 3-person deal. 2 people go into the bank, 1 waits in the car. I thought that didn't work. And that's probably why they don't talk about bank robberies that much, because they certainly don't want to encourage anybody else to get the idea you can rip off banks this way. But they are all over these black hat guys. All right, so we move from the black hats to the white hats and the black hats. What happened with Benjamin Netanyahu addressing Congress? He said that it's a bad deal to do any deal with Iran and get involved in anything that has to do with nuclear weapons. Not saying roll back what's already been established, but he absolutely had a clear message. He spoke to Congress for less than 40 minutes, and he said that the agreement between world powers and Iran is absolutely a bad deal, that it's not going to stop Tehran from getting nuclear weapons, which I frankly agree heavily with that statement, but would rather instead pave them to getting lots of them and leave Israel in a terrible position. It was a pretty dramatic address, and certainly there were Democrats that you knew were going to walk out, that weren't going to be involved, that wanted nothing to do with Netanyahu coming to speak to Congress, and they did. About 50 Democratic lawmakers, absolutely boycotted Netanyahu. However, he had 20-plus standing ovations. And even veteran Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California said his speech was powerful, but she did say he failed to lay out a solution that Israel would find agreeable. And this is the crossroads now where we're at with Israel. And at this point, Netanyahu said, this is a long covert war against the United States and Israel, and they're playing hide and cheat to conceal the true extent of the nuclear program. Bravo. Is there anybody listening to me now, listening to America Tonight, I don't care what your ideology is, that doesn't think that this is what's happening with Iran? Of course it is. Because who are the people that are their proxies, as Netanyahu would say? Hezbollah. I mean, that's the third terror group. You think of Hamas, you think of Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, they're right there on that list, and it's all about gobbling territory. And this was the thrust of what he said to Congress. He addressed his speech by saying he regretted that his speech was being seen as a political ploy. He said he regrets that, and he did say, very classy, he said he would always be grateful to President Obama for his support of Israel, including a lot that would never be known for national security reasons, because, of course, we've given Israel money. And think of the Iron Dome and how much that's a staple of how they fend off attacks. So the Obama administration said they weren't going to, you know, the president was going to watch the speech or any of that kind of stuff. But the one thing they did say is that a deal could verifiably freeze Iran's nuclear program for probably a decade and stop it short enough of developing a weapon for the world to have time to act if it cheats on the agreement. Josh Earnest, who is the spokesperson, the White House spokesperson, did the daily briefing, said that Obama hadn't watched the speech, he hadn't done it, and that he doubted that the president would tune in, when he was going to Congress anyway. So this was that kind of point of contention. Normally, Vice President Joe Biden would be there, but he's in Guatemala, so that's an out for him. And there were some, you know, they tried to kind of tamp down the tensions in the addresses by using Samantha Power from the UN and also, as well, Susan Rice, too, hoping, I guess, that would quell some of that. And the president, which he would meet with Netanyahu, that would be a customary thing to do, or at least even speak to him. They are having no conversations. He's not speaking to him because they felt that it would be seen as interfering in Israel's general election. So there you go. Any thoughts on that, members? Send them to me, americatonight.net. I went through the whole speech. And I would say that I agree with what Netanyahu has to say based on all that we know coming out of Iran. But if you've listened to the show, you know how I feel about that. I put Iran up there a long, long time ago with Ahmadinejad. And Rouhani is not quite Ahmadinejad, but he's not the supreme leader either. And it's quite clear that Iran is bending over backwards to get as many nukes as possible, and I think that's frankly dangerous to the security of the world in general, but certainly to the security of Israel, which is supposed to be one of our biggest allies in a really quicksand-like Middle East. The world of politics that touches you and me, the Department of Homeland Security, now is funded. This came down later in the day. The House cleared the DHS bill for the president, so you know he's going to sign that, and there's no reference to immigration whatsoever. Not all the things that were going to be part of this now are not part of it, and it has a lot of people pretty upset over John Boehner backing off what he originally said that he was going to do and that he would not back away from. He changed his mind and said that this is what he had to do, that he had to, you know, clearly there was no other way around this because of the terror threats and how dangerous it would be to not fund the Department of Homeland Security. Remember, last week they were talking about the fact that it would be tried out in a courtroom scenario, so this was the direction that the House decided to go. And the vote was 257 to 167, and you know, Boehner rarely cast votes. He backed the bill along with the top guys around him, and a majority of House Republicans, of course, opposed it. Just 75, in fact, Republican lawmakers joined up with 182 Dems to push it across, but it got pushed across. It does nothing to rein in any kind of immigration executive orders, which that was the Republican cry, hey, we're not going to do this. And it was a sticking point for weeks and weeks, more than weeks, months on end. And initially that was the idea. We're not going to fund it. We're going to put a Band-Aid on it. And we'll just wait. So all these rumors of a coup and Boehner pushed through a bill that kept the doors open to March 6th. Enough time to work out, I guess, this deal. So that deal is a wrap. Funded. I'm sure some of you are furious because you really thought that this was going to be... this is going to be it, and they weren't going to pass it no matter what. All right, stay with us. Much more to come next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Is full, even though here we are in Washington, broadcasting across from the Supreme Court. The oral arguments, of course, are going to be heard tomorrow, King versus Burwell. It has to do with the subsidies and technically, I guess, and the numbers fluctuate, but maybe 13 million people would lose those subsidies. And the states, I guess, that would be hit the hardest, Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania, Georgia, certainly make that list. And if we look at the, you know, if we look at the statistics on the Affordable Care Act and the subsidies, when the subsidies, if the subsidies go and the premiums are pushed higher, that means most likely younger and healthier patients would probably drop their coverage, and those that stay would be paying the higher rates, and they are probably likely to be much sicker. And they would be paying the higher rates and use more of the health resources, the healthcare resources. So that would push rates for everyone in the states higher, which would cause more dropped coverage and, you know, so on and so forth. Which, of course, that is at the heart of this for so many of you that call this show, on a conservative bent or not. You're looking at the, at your premiums. I mean, we talk about the premiums. We talk about getting the a la carte menus and how crazy all of that, all that is. And there's no doubt, I say this all the time, you could walk up to anyone in a bar, you could walk up to anyone on a beach, you could walk up to anyone in the grocery store and say, hey, how would you like affordable care? How would you like affordable insurance? And of course, we're all going to say yes, as somebody who's been bounced around on different, with different coverages and different scenarios, I know exactly how you feel. So on that note, overwhelmingly a ton of response on this and a few other things as well, so let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
And checking the mail, we got this one from Bob in Illinois, who says, Kate, I'd be so interested to hear some of the stories of the people and their health care coverages and what really is working and what really isn't working. Not so much a lot of the rhetoric that we're hearing, but more of what it means personally to people and with these people on the subsidies, and especially the people who had to pay money back, because then, of course, that had to leave a nasty taste, too, as well. Well, yeah, that, you know, the tax situation where you had people that had to pay $500 back, although if you're talking about people who have serious diseases and they desperately needed the subsidies, you know, then they're in a much worse boat, certainly. No question about that. The problem is, and we know this, it's like we go back to the whole state lines thing again, and we go back to states, we go back to competition, and that conversation that, you know, that I've had so often here on the air, and it's insurance. It's the insurance companies who have driven this into the ground without a doubt. By the way, Benjamin Netanyahu addressing Congress couldn't be bigger in Washington, D.C., with the Supreme Court argument coming up, but also the Netanyahu address, and you had a few Democrats who opted not to listen to Netanyahu, but certainly there was a big presence on the Hill, and he talked about Iran, and he talked about cutting a deal with Iran, and what their aspirations were for that country nuclear-wise, and there certainly was a lot of reaction to that, without a doubt. And some of you have reacted to the fact that the White House wasn't involved in this. This one from Nicole, who says, Kate, I just don't get it. Why would the president not want to have a conversation with the prime minister of Israel? Maybe he's only the prime minister for a couple more weeks, but I don't think, really, do you think that sways the vote that much? I think it's more smoke-blowing than anything else. You know, I saw Valerie Jarrett on Morning Joe, and she talked about initiatives that they were rolling out, education, and that they were excited about it. And I mean, there's no question that obviously what's happening is skirting the whole Netanyahu, visit. And the president is getting some serious flack for that. You know, you've got what we have going on in the hopscotching of the Middle East, and why are we having this tension between Netanyahu and Obama? So Israeli leaders publicly were certainly trading lots of words, but there's lots of tensions around the talks, the U.S. talks with Iran over the nuclear program, and that was at the heart of Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to Congress, where he's pushing Congress to thwart the president's top foreign policy initiative. And I think this really was more at the heart of it than, oh, Netanyahu is running. I think that really was at the heart of this whole thing, without a doubt. And I got another one here from, this one from Jake in Austin, and he says, Kate, give him hell in Washington. And with what's happening with Netanyahu and the president's snub, and then also what's happening with healthcare, let's get the politics out of healthcare. Let's do something different, like really, honest to goodness, go through and audit what's happening with these insurance companies. How come people don't suggest doing that? Do you think we'll ever in our lifetime solve this riddle? No, I don't think in the lifetime. I think in the lifetime we're always going to have those battles. And it's like I've been talking to people here on Radio Row, and the concern is, I mean, when you think of your health, I mean, of course, all of us, I shouldn't say all of us, but eventually, depending on your lifespan and depending on your family's makeup, you're going to be touched by some of these horrific diseases that unfortunately are part of our lives. How many people listening to me are cancer survivors? How many people have lost lost a child or lost any other loved one because of it? And to me, the scarier thing is the fact that people are avoiding doctors because they can't afford doctors. And that's at the heart of this, of anything to do with health insurance and getting seen. It's when you find a lump. It's when you don't feel right and your stomach's not right, something's wrong, that you just decide, I can't afford this. I mean, they're creaming me. They're creaming me with the premiums and, you know, $6,000 premiums that are unaffordable for most people. And that also comes to the heart of insurance and affordability. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Supreme Court rules on the subsidy issue, because it could certainly it certainly could ixnay it. And then what is the plan after that? What's the plan just in general in the future as we look to, you know, the ACC? I mean, if the court strikes down the federal subsidies, then will Congress use the pressure from voters or health care companies to come up with a more conservative version of health care reform, changing the tax treatment for employer-sponsored health plans, allowing states more flexibility to spend Medicaid money, how about that, and design their own systems and, you know, get rid of the individual mandate if they want to. But the Republicans would have to go along with some of that, and clearly that would be a different momentum change if that were to happen, and if that group emerges. And some of the things that I just said there, I think, could be a much more successful way to deal with this. On the business front, there, what would happen if the U.S. healthcare system had its own economy? It would be the sixth largest in the world, larger than England's. Entire giant segments of the healthcare system redesign their business models to take advantage of some of the incentives, and then some drop them too, which happened to a lot of people, which was disastrous for so many. I mean, hospitals got a trade-off. They stopped getting government payments to offset the cost of treating uninsured, so that cut the amount to $269 billion over a decade, and they were promised millions of new patients insured through federal subsidies. So then what does that mean to the rest of us and our health care? And along those lines, that certainly was on the minds of many of you. Here's another one. This one from Joy, who says, Kate, have fun in Washington. I think it's interesting. I'm glad that you're looking at this from all angles. I heard you say that a couple of times, which I think is good, because let's have a conversation. Let's dig deeper. Let's find out what the alternatives are. Let's find out what's going on in people's lives. What does it mean? What does it mean for the 34 people, the 34 states who would lose subsidies? What happens to those people? I mean, are they thrown under the bus? That doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy, but it doesn't make me feel good about my health care coverage when I'm one of the middle class people that you're talking about, where we are squeezed and our premiums went up and our deductibles are just too darn high. It makes people like myself feel dissuaded from actually going to the doctors. All right, thanks for all of the emails. Keep them coming. AmericaTonight.net. Click on contact, and bada bing, you're in. You know how I like to say that. And that's the way to get us 24/7. It's like a drive-through window. Throw me your thoughts. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
Do good people ever want to call an attorney just to find out if they're right or wrong? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what are you forced to think about first? Money. If you could call as often as you wanted and talk as long as you need without a bill, would you call? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery.
Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
This is Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year, in addition to the emotional stress on employees and their families. That's why Famous Footwear is committed to raising funds to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in the March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Welcome to the show. She's in our virtual green room. Not really. She's sitting here right next to me. I'm so used to saying that when I have guests all over the place, but it's so cool to be in Washington. We're right across from the Supreme Court. We're here at Families First USA, Radio Row, and, of course, the oral arguments of the Supreme Court, King versus Burwell, and how many millions could lose that subsidy. That's kind of at the heart of it for the plaintiffs. And then they're challenging the federal government's ability to provide tax credits to consumers to offset the cost of health insurance premium in states that haven't set their own health insurance market practices. I mean, that's really at the heart of this, like I said. So with us now is Dr. Alice Chen. She is the executive director, Doctors for America. Dr. Chen, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first of all, let's just talk about how you view what's happening with the Supreme Court. When you heard that there was going to be the challenge, what was the, as a doctor especially, what was the first thing that you thought?
First thing I thought was,
millions of people who just finally got health insurance are going to lose it if this case doesn't go in the right direction, and that is not right.
Are you having people ask you those kinds of questions, I would imagine, because of your organization, writing in confused about what's, first of all, what's covered, what's not, what happens? Are you getting that because
getting
of the buzz?
That. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although, honestly, not enough people know that this is happening.
So that was what I was going to ask. So why is it that not enough people know? Because they're busy, we bury our heads in the sand. I mean, healthcare, this is your life. So whatever's going on in your healthcare, you want to know what your coverage is, what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I think it's kind of like the money thing. People don't want to talk about money, and they don't mm-hmm. want to talk about their health, and especially if they're healthy. But then once you get thrown, as I've been saying here all day, a curveball, then things change for you. And you've probably seen that, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I have seen people who are going on along their life. They're
perfect,
starting a new business. They're so excited, and then something happens. They get an infection. They get in a car accident, and then all of a sudden, they don't have health insurance, and they don't know what their future will hold, either for their health or for their finances and their career.
So with the subsidies, if that goes away, what does that mean for a lot of the people that you probably have talked to?
I mean, it means that 8 million people will lose their health insurance. They won't be able to afford it anymore. That insurance, they already have the card in their wallet, and they won't be able to use it anymore.
So it only means if there's a doctor who is just your family doctor, and they'll take cash or do something to try to help you out. That's the only way around it.
Yeah, or if there's a community clinic in your area. But the problem is that if you need specialty care, if you need surgery, if you need surgery, you don't have any extra time to go and ask, will you do this for free? Will you please help me? It's not the way the system should work.
And as a doctor, don't you find that? Because what happens is if you get catapulted into, I mean, I've seen this in my family, if you get catapulted into cancer or mm-hmm. into something else, you've got to come up. You're just worried about, what am I doing? What's the treatment? What course are we going on? And that just adds another stressful factor to try to figure out if you can even get it.
Exactly. You're thinking, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my kids? Am I going to make it through this? You can't be worrying about how you're going to pay your bills as well.
Yeah. What do you tell people on the other side of this? Like, I always say on my show, I get all kinds of calls, and mm-hmm. a lot of people in the middle class upset because their premiums went sky high, and, hey, they understand, they feel good that other people got health insurance. Do you think this irons itself out? Is there a way? You're never going to please everyone, but mm-hmm. is there a way to, as this goes further down the road, to fix some of those bumps?
Absolutely. And for the vast majority of people, costs are lower than they would have been without the law. I understand that everything is still rising. We're trying to bring that down.
Mm-hmm.
But if people in your community can't get health care, that's not some random person. It's the handyman who comes to your house. It's your plumber. It's the cashier at the grocery store. It's real people. It's your cousin. It's your next door neighbor. These are actual real people who are part of your life.
So how do you get those? How do you get those health care costs down, going deeper? How do you get that down?
So I think there's a couple of different ways. One is that the entire way the healthcare system is set up right now, it's focused on doing more, 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 more.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us think that we need more, 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 more. If my back hurts, the only way to fix it is to get an MRI. That's almost never going to help.
Right.
And so part of it is the system not being so focused on doing more, 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 more. And part of it is us as people not feeling like we have to have a pill, we have to have a test. The second piece is for all of us to focus more on our health, is to exercise and eat right and get our checkups when we need them, and really think about how are we protecting our own health so we don't get sick in the first place.
So prevention, and sometimes mm-hmm. that gets poo-pooed, though, that, oh, they're spending, how much are you spending on prevention? And does it really work? Have you seen that work? Have you seen people get it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you are 300 pounds and you lose 100,
right,
your blood pressure comes down, your cholesterol comes down, your diabetes gets better. You see before your very eyes.
Where it changes the makeup of you having to take pills and the things that you're having to do, it comes down because you're eating better. Why, you know, as a doctor, why isn't that emphasized more, the nutrition aspect?
You know, for doctors, honestly, a lot of us aren't taught a lot about nutrition.
Right.
Because the system is focused on the latest MRI and whatever scan and
right.
fancy gadgets.
Right.
We don't learn about
nutrition very much.
Yeah.
Not exactly to tell people. And the other piece is that we don't have a lot of time often. If you're a primary care doctor, sometimes you have 15 minutes to see a patient. It's pretty hard to go through what did you eat for breakfast and lunch and dinner. Okay,
right,
what
right.
You should change.
Right. What do you think is the biggest of all the things that we're battling? And I mean, and there's everything, you know, you run the gamut from cancer to diabetes to, you know, whatever. What do you think is of everything out there that's scary, that's going on, that's happening to people? What's the worst?
Oh, there's so many.
so many devils out there that can get you. I know.
I think, honestly, it's our whole transition to, like, a more sort of sedentary life, and I'm absolutely, you know...
Sitting.
I'm sitting. We're both sitting right now.
Right.
But, you know, we're not as active as our ancestors were. We're not eating as much unprocessed food as our ancestors were. I think these daily, day-to-day life things that we're doing to ourselves, that's the biggest risk to our health.
You know, they're talking about making desks where you stand.
Yeah,
that is so, because I've seen them too. And you know, you can sit on the ball,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't always work. And especially in most traditional offices,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to be rolling around on a bunch of balls. But it is funny because the statistics on being sedentary, and then you realize the effects that has on you. And I guess that would be one of the areas to combat.
Exactly.
Is to try to get moving at least a little bit more, or take a walk at lunch, or, you know, whatever it might be. When you look at the younger generation coming up, because we certainly know the struggles of the older generation,
mm-hmm.
and now because we're coming into the baby boomers where there was more processed food, like you said, the ancestors, they were running around constantly chasing
mm-hmm.
after people, working however hard they were working, from working in fields to working in businesses or whatever, and so that's
right.
changed. What do you fear for the younger generation if this whole healthcare thing isn't straightened out the best that it can be?
You know, I feel like we're at this point where we're starting to decide that health care is a right. When the Affordable Care Act was passed, when millions of people started to get health care, we've started to move toward that health care is a right in this country. And I want our kids to know that and to feel that and to grow up assuming that's just a given. I think if the tax credits go away and the whole system starts crumbling around us, then that won't be the case. And that's not what I want for our country.
Do you think... Because I think this is what happens. People are afraid to go to the doctor because they're worried about the cost. Or do you think that'll just intensify even more if we see that happen with the subsidies?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they just say, forget it. I mean, so I don't feel well. I'm just going to ignore it.
Exactly. I mean, there are estimates that 9,800 people every year will die because they don't have health insurance. And it's not that, you know, they show up at the hospital and they get turned away. It's that by the time they make it to the hospital, it's too late. I've taken care of those patients. It's heartbreaking.
Meaning that you saw an infection or something that could have been easily treatable?
Mm-hmm. Or a cancer that by the time it comes to you, you take one look and there's nothing to be done. It's not right.
Well, and one of those is like colon cancer, because colonoscopies
mm-hmm.
have a pretty good high rate of getting somebody in faster, don't they? And people
mm-hmm.
people avoid that, and then they're worried about the cost. And isn't that one of the things that's covered?
Yeah, that's one of the things with preventive care, cancer screenings, it's covered.
Wow. Health. Tell us about Doctors for America.
Sure.
Tell us about the organization.
Doctors for America is thousands of doctors in all 50 states who have come together over the past few years because we believe that the country needs to put patients over politics and
Ooh.
Make sure everyone has access to health care.
Patients over politics. That's a good tagline. Patients over politics. And do you find, I mean, now when you reach out on the Hill, and
mm-hmm.
try to, do you reach out to Republicans and Democrats? Because you know that you're going to get more support from Democrats. But have you been able to reach out to some Republicans and have those conversations?
Absolutely. I mean, health impacts everybody. It's not like only half of the country ever gets sick.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? I want to be in that half of the country.
I'm
please.
Looking at my party.
That's right. If you can guarantee that for me, I'll do whatever I have to do.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so crazy. And have you, as this organization's growing, and there's more of a need for that, isn't there? Because
mm-hmm.
because healthcare is just so huge in general.
It is.
I mean, and there's nobody that's going to say, I always say on this show, I don't care if you're left of left or right of right or somewhere in between. I mean, who is not? Health is everything.
It is. It is. If you're not alive, then nothing.
Well,
nothing matters.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, if you make millions of dollars and then you're riddled with some illness,
exactly.
I mean, either way, and it doesn't discriminate. Diseases don't discriminate on your economic level.
Exactly.
That's for sure. Well, you were a delight. Dr. Chen, Doctors for America. You can look them up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
so much.
It. Thanks.
Take care.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Again, that's FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeSurvivalLighter.com today.
The Freeze-Dry Guy presents Freeze-Dried Turkey, Freeze-Dried Ham, and the No-Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze-Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock-full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze Dry Guy's No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make FreezeDryGuy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit FreezeDryGuy.com.
America tonight. You just heard Dr. Chen, obviously very passionate about what she believes is the problem with doing away with the subsidies. And, you know, it's such a mixed bag. As I said, when we came to Washington, we were going to shake it up and look at all sides, from the left to the right, from the in-between, and from people who just are frustrated and want super good health care and don't understand why the system is so difficult to maneuver. So in Washington, D.C., a couple of things, some big odds and ends. Bibi Netanyahu talking to both chambers of Congress was huge, needless to say, because remember, the Supreme Court oral arguments are actually on Wednesday. So while there's a big buildup for that and a lot of conversation about that, Netanyahu was overwhelmingly the story in D.C. So the Prime Minister warned Tuesday that this proposed agreement between world powers and Iran was simply a bad deal that would not stop Tehran from getting nuclear weapons, but instead would go 180 degrees in the opposite direction and pave the way to it getting lots of them and leave Israel in grave peril. Look at a map and obviously look at the tensions that have been there forever. So it was a pretty dramatic address, I think, to Congress. Anywhere you went today in the afternoon, that's what everybody was talking about. As I said, here in D.C., that was absolutely the buzz. He said this is a fateful crossroads of history. He openly sided with President Obama's Republican critics, and there was a furious reaction from the White House. They couldn't get that reaction out fast enough from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And so the relations between Washington and Israel could not be in the worst spot than they've been for many, many years that I can recall. So a couple of quotes from Netanyahu said, "We've been told that no deal is better than a bad deal. Well, this is a bad deal. It's a very bad deal. We are better off without it." And he said, you know, in building up this case, that Iran wasn't just bent on, hey, nuclear weapons, but they want to eat up defenseless countries in a bigger play for their dominance in the Middle East. And here's another quote from him. He said, "We're being told that the only alternative to this bad deal is war, and that's just not true. The alternative to the bad deal is a much better deal." And of course, there were lots of cheers, especially in the House chamber, and just issuing a firm warning that Israel is going to stand alone, if necessary, to defend, as he called, the existence of the Jewish people, that's the peril here. So the White House, what they said, they didn't really disguise what they were saying about Netanyahu, obviously upset because he's been in this public brouhaha with the president for almost his entire time in the White House, and stepped up, you know, the criticism, the talks between the world powers and Iran on a deal. And so Netanyahu, after he finished up, he said, you know, this is how I feel, and this is how we're passionate about defending our country, obviously. And when Obama, who said he wasn't going to watch Netanyahu, when he wrapped up, Obama said, when he was talking to reporters, that there's nothing new in Netanyahu's address, what he said. And even a little bit further than that, because he was meeting with the defense secretary, he said, but on the core issue, this is Obama, which is how do we prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, which would make it far more dangerous and would give it scope for even greater action in the region. The prime minister didn't, this is what Obama says, didn't offer any viable alternatives, which he didn't go into alternatives. That's true. He talked about the danger of allowing them to build up their nuclear arsenal. So, I mean, this is, it's crazy. The what used to be such a long, solid alliance between the U.S. and Israel, but that this now is, you know, nothing but deterioration since the start of really 2009, when Obama came into office. The other thing that was released from somebody in the administration was that not one idea, not one single concrete alternative, all rhetoric, no action. So that's pretty much the message from Washington, from the White House, that there's nothing new here. He didn't say anything new. There was nothing that there was nothing that came out of this that blew us away, basically. And, of course, Netanyahu, as you all know, to recap, was not in Washington at the invitation of the press, but was there to give the speech because Republican House Speaker John Boehner decided to invite him. And it certainly exposes the U.S.-Israel alliance to some crazy crossfire, partisan crossfire, really, and you could clearly feel that in the air, and you could hear the conversations, and that really was part of the buzz in Washington, besides this lead up to what's going to be the Supreme Court hearing on basically the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a., you know, Obamacare. Another quick side note here, which is pretty big, and this is Washington, and this affects all of us, no matter if you're listening to me in Sarasota, Florida, or you're listening in New Jersey, or you're listening in Austin, Texas, you know, wherever it might be. One of the things we've been talking about ad nauseum, frankly, it's just the same rhetoric over and over and over again coming out of D.C., but I almost get tired of saying that because why give any excuse? What's going to happen with the DHS? Well, what's going to happen with the DHS is the clock is ticking, and it looks like there is a deal just to continue the Band-Aid approach. So the Band-Aid seems to be the choice du jour at the moment for anybody in Washington. We'll opt out for a temporary fix because we sure cannot come up with what would be termed as a fix that everybody can live with, and that's exactly what's happened once again. It's the hot potato being pushed down the line because we only have just a couple of days left. So that's the major discussing. So is it a victory for Obama? The House okayed the funding for DHS, so now the Band-Aid moves off temporarily. That's why I say temporarily, because did John Boehner cave in on this whole amnesty thing, or what's that about? The funding for DHS, though, ends temporarily as well. It's the word of the moment. The standoff on immigration, so approving that funding bill essentially pulls that out. The House voted 257 to 167 for the legislation, so it goes to the president's desk. The final legislation includes no immigration provisions, was carried over mostly by Democratic votes, and it ended the Band-Aid standoff. So Boehner, faced with really only no options almost, told Republican lawmakers, hey, I'm dropping the immigration demands. He said he believed the decision to vote on a clean bill, considering where we are, is the right one for this team, is how he said it, and the right one for this country. So Boehner's move probably leads to a backlash in the Republican Party, especially since House Republican leaders repeatedly denied again and again that he struck a deal with Nancy Pelosi last week to have that kind of a vote. So the reaction there also is pretty swift. Congressman Steve King from Iowa says this is the sign of capitulation. The mood of this thing is such that to bring it back from the abyss is very difficult. And then you had Pete King, the outspoken Republican congressman from New York, who said sanity is prevailing. I do give John Boehner credit. So short-term funding for the department was set to expire on Friday at midnight. Voting on the final bill Tuesday included 182 Democrats, just 75 Republicans. And, you know, Boehner pretty much said, that's what he told his members, that the only other option would be to allow DHS to undergo a partial shutdown, which would be, he said, awful considering the active terror threats, or to take up another stopgap funding bill, which it was looking like that was going to happen even just moments ago. That's the direction I was going in, and it had it handed to me. No, that changed. So he told lawmakers, you know, it probably wouldn't pass, and he blamed the impasse on the Senate Democrats. So, I mean, we've been caught up in this kind of crazy, cockamamie procedural whirlwind over the past week as they're trying these different options out, and it looked like nothing was going to happen. So what now? It's going to be interesting to see if Boehner hangs on again to his speakership next time around. If he wants it, I think it'd be much, 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 much more difficult. And quickly, here's another thing to throw in that got a little bit swept under the rug because of everything else that's going on. But General Petraeus, he pleads guilty to a misdemeanor charge in a plea deal, and that was years ago, over claims that he leaked that classified information to his mistress. So by doing that, he avoids a trial, which would be embarrassing, and it keeps him out of prison and over whether he leaked private information to her or not when he headed up the CIA. Federal prosecutors are going to ask the judge for 2 years of probation for Petraeus. All right, thanks for listening to America Tonight, and I'll see you on the flip side.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Walland Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Walland Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Walland Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.